want to say this morning, Lord Jesus, you are present by your Spirit whenever we open up your word. Your word is living and active. It's alive. Let it speak to our hearts tonight. God, let it encourage us and strengthen us in the most holy faith. Holy Spirit, we would welcome you here, but we know that you're already here. Thank you for being here. You're the one who gives understanding and gives knowledge and gives revelation. We ask for it tonight by grace through faith in Jesus' name. And everyone said, all right, we're in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. And it was written during Paul the Apostle's first lockdown in Rome. And the first one was the worst one. Is when he was really, really locked. Well, the second one was that none of them were good, okay? But on his first prison term, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Philemon, and Colossians. Those are called the prison epistles because that's where he was, all right? This particular church was made up mostly of Gentiles. And so as you read through the book, and we're not going to do a book study through it, although that would be nice. As you read through it, you kind of hear the tone that he uses, knowing that he's speaking to Gentile people who have converted to Christianity. There were problems in the church. Imagine that, a church with problems. There was a belief system that was prevalent in Greek culture that had crept into the church called Gnosticism. And the Gnostics had all kinds of crazy beliefs. It really took parts of Greek thought and parts of Hebrew thought and mixed it all together, but they came up with some crazy things like salvation would only come through knowledge. So therefore, it was only those who were elite and those who had intelligence who actually would have salvation. We know the gospel doesn't say that faith really was of no value because they only believed in things that could be seen in the material world. If it was immaterial, then they didn't believe it existed, therefore it had no real value. And there were different kinds of beliefs within this group of people. One is that they believe that you should live without any sort of pleasure at all, none whatsoever. So it was constantly trying to, you know, kind of beat themselves down and avoid all pleasures in life. That was one extreme. And then the other extreme was the exact opposite, where they would live their life just full-on hedonistic, like, you know, debauchery, like the worst of the worst. And so it was kind of like this mixed-up place. And yet, although Paul the Apostle probably never actually visited this church, when he was in Ephesus, he wasn't too far away and probably sent one of his servants, maybe Epaphroditus, to go and to minister in the church there. And so the theme that runs throughout the book of Colossians is Christians are complete in Christ. We are complete in Christ. That is mature, or that we have all that we need in Christ. If you read through the book of Ephesians, one of the key taglines is in Him. In Him we have redemption through the forgiveness of sins. And so, we are complete in Christ. And you'll see that word throughout our little study tonight. Also, another word that you'll see again is knowledge. Okay, everybody say knowledge. So I have your seats kind of in circles because I want to ask questions and have you guys discuss it. Here's one question that I have for you. I want you to take a couple minutes in your groups and think about this. How do you grow in knowledge of this thing we call Christianity? In other words, how do you grow in knowledge? All right, it sounds like a real easy question, but I want you to think about it. So take a few minutes and talk about how you grow in your knowledge of Christianity. All right, how do we grow in our knowledge? Our knowledge of the Lord, our knowledge of just His ways. How do we grow in that? How does that happen? Yep. By the Holy Spirit. All right, how else? By reading the Handbook of Life, basic instructions before leaving Earth, the Bible, right? What else? All right. Fellowshipping, iron sharpening iron. By prayer, that's one way. Another way you grow. How else? Through experience. Trials, tribulations, temptations, victories, high points. Yep. What else? All right. Asking for knowledge, asking for wisdom. James says that. Okay. Good. Right. Multiple ways to grow. Okay. How do you intentionally grow? Some of those same things you just mentioned, right? Intentionally doing these things, just and doing it consistently, right? There's so much going on in life, it's hard to intentionally grow. The very first part, and I think we said this and it was good, it was the Holy Spirit. It's by God. It's by Him drawing us and Him opening our hearts and our minds and causing us to want to in our heart, causing us to want to. It's one thing to love somebody because you have to or you feel like you're compelled to. It's another thing because you choose to. Okay? All right. So, Colossians chapter 1, how to pray like Paul the Apostle. That's what we're talking about. How to pray like Paul the Apostle, part 5, I think. It could be part 6, I don't know. Here we go. Colossians 1, verse 9 says, "For this reason, since today we heard of it, we have not stopped praying for you, asking specifically that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, that is, with insight and into His purposes, and in understanding of spiritual things, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity to fully please Him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, as steadily," some may say steady growing in the, I'm kidding, "in the knowledge of God with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love for His precepts." Verse 11, "We pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power according to His glorious might to attain every kind of endurance and patience and joy." Verse 12, "giving thanks for the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, God's people, in light." Okay, that's a whole lot, right? That's a lot. Paul the Apostle is praying for the church at Colossae, and this is how he prays for them. First, he says that you'll be filled with the knowledge of His will. Filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and with insight into His purposes and in understanding of spiritual things. Filled with the knowledge of His will. To know what His will is in circumstances. Paul says, I'm praying that you're filled with it. That you know what God's will is and what God's desire is. That you'll know what His will is, and that you'll have spiritual wisdom, that you'll have insight into His purposes and understanding. Notice the things that he's asking for. Knowledge, up here. Spiritual wisdom, up here. And this is the Amplified Bible that does that. Insight into His purposes, that's up here. And understanding of spiritual things. All these things have to do with our thinking, our mind, the way that we process things. Paul's praying that for these people. And I think that if Paul the Apostle prays this for the church at Colossae, that's a good prayer for us to pray for ourselves. And it's a good prayer for us to pray for other people as well. When I was in youth ministry in particular, because we had like a roster of kids, I used to go through these prayers and I would pray them over every kid. To me, it wasn't vain repetition because it was me praying Paul's prayer back to the Lord. And I just made a habit of doing that, just praying over and over and over again. Filled with knowledge of His will in spiritual wisdom and insight. OK, Okay? To know God and what His requirements or what He wants, to make that a priority. Lord, what's Your will? Asking that question, God, what do You want? It's so easy just to kind of say, well, this is what we should do, and then do it. And then later on say, hey, we never really bothered to ask the Lord. You know, and I know that there's sometimes, because we're filled with the Spirit, I don't believe we have to ask the Lord every time about everything. Is it okay to say that? Lord, should I get the Cheetos or should I get the cheese puffs? Help me out, Lord. I don't think we need to ask the Lord that. I think the Lord's probably saying neither, all right? That's just my guess, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know, because you can get into that point where you ask God for everything. And don't get me wrong. I'm trying to be balanced here. I think there's things where the Lord says, man, you know what? Put some wisdom to work, man, and choose what you will. Of course, we want to be in the habit of seeking Him. But we should also, as the Holy Spirit lives within us and abides in us, we should be just knowing that if I step this way, I'll be led by the Spirit. And if I step that way, I'll be led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's cool. All right. And so knowing what His will is and making that a priority, how do we know what God's will is? What's the first one say? Is that in your notes? Through His Word. I'm at one. I'm like right down here. Do you guys have that? How do you? Oh, I erased it, didn't I? Ah, because I asked a question. Right. All right. So how do you know what that is? We already talked about how do we know God's will, right? Through His Word, through prayer, when circumstances and the Word of God and your prayers line up, right? That's how you know God's will sometimes. Not just, be careful, you don't believe just because of circumstances, that's always God's will. How many times has circumstances lined up, but it wasn't God's will? No, Lord, that has to be the one, because the way I met her, that's surely Your will. And the Lord's like, no, it ain't. That's not. I didn't send her to You. Somebody else sent her to You. That wasn't me. And you'd be like, oh, okay. That must be God. No, man, that's not really. No, nice try. Right? So everything lines up, and there's a confirmation of the Spirit. We call it peace. Sometimes you don't know which way to go. And by faith, you just take a step and you just believe, okay, God, I believe this is what You have. But you have a peace about it too, okay? So knowing that, Paul's praying, you fill with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom. Pray that over yourself. Pray that over loved ones. Pray that over people that you want to see come to know Jesus. Spurgeon says this, if you read this epistle through, you will observe that Paul frequently alludes to knowledge and wisdom. To the point in which he judged the church to be deficient, he turned his prayerful attention. He would not have them ignorant. He knew that spiritual ignorance is the constant source of error, instability, and sorrow. And therefore, he desired that they should be soundly taught in the things of God. Is that good? Soundly taught in the things of God. All right. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, somebody said this earlier, said, my people perish or are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Of what? Of My law, where I reveal My will. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3 says this. Now the Holy Spirit clearly says that in the last time some will turn away from the faith, and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. How can they do that? How can they turn away from the faith and follow doctrines of deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons? How does that happen? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Lack of discernment. Lack of spiritual wisdom and understanding. Lack of time in the Word. Right? You've heard the old story that bank teller. Anybody here ever been a bank teller? No? I know some of y'all was, but not in that capacity. But anyway, they say that bank tellers, Ms. Melba, they spend so much time with real money that they can tell a counterfeit as soon as they touch it. Like, they don't even have to see it, just by feel. Now, I've heard this to be true. A cashier, there you go, because you're constantly dealing with cash. What was that? No. And so how much better for us who are people of the Word to be growing in spiritual wisdom and understanding, to be able to have the discernment to say, I don't know if that's truth. That doesn't sound right. Something's wrong with that. A lot of times people get lifted up and it's like, oh, this person, they're great, they're mighty, they're awesome. I don't think their doctrine's right. Man, you just being judgmental. No, man, something's not right. Then come to find out, there's like, you know, they don't believe in this, that, or the other. Anybody got a cough drop? I have one. In my car. cough drop, gum? Cough drop, gum? I'll take gum. Jolly Rancher? Thank you. Sorry, I have a cough drop in my car and like peppermint? I'll take it all. I'm going to try gum first. Let's see how this works. Thank you. I don't even chew gum, but my kids will be like, Dad, you're chewing gum. Anyway, that's right. I know how now I'm going to teach with gum in my mouth. Thank you. All right, y'all, listen. Thank you. This is juicy fruit. I have to keep... I'm going to choke on this gum in a minute. We need to have another discussion question, don't we? Proverbs 4:7 says... Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better to get wisdom than gold? Wait a minute. Than gold? And good judgment than silver. Isn't that interesting? Oh, I have one. Thank you. My sis comes prepared. She'd be having like cough drops, gum. Who needs a towel? Anyone? Here we go. I got one of those too. So get wisdom. Whatever you got to do, get wisdom. Hang around people that have wisdom. Search out people that you know have more wisdom than you do. Just say, hey, you know what? I want to pick your brain. I want to ask you questions about your faith, about your life. You know, about how you do this. I once asked a man who was a lifelong educator in youth ministry. I mean, like a pretty big name back in the day, probably still a big name. And I met him at a conference, and I didn't meet him. I was like one of 100 people in the crowd, and I waited till it was over, and I walked up to him and said, hey, can I get 3 hours a year from you? And because he was teaching at a school, he went, oh, man, that's going to be hard to do because every year I have new students graduating and they want time too. I go, okay, 1 hour. And at that time, he was in Pittsburgh, and I said this. I go, I'll meet you. I know you're on the West Coast all the time. I'll meet you anytime you come to the West Coast. And he said, tell you what. He said, take my email address, and then we'll start with that. I go, great. And I was able to email back and forth. There was another gentleman that has mentored me in various capacities. He was coming down to Long Beach doing a conference, and I met him there. And I just said, hey, I go, Dr. Carl Ellis. And I said, hey, can I, what are you doing afterwards? Who's taking you to the airport? And I went and had dinner with him and took him back to his hotel and I can call him right now and still connect with him. And he does a lot of studies in Christianity and Islam in the black context. You know, how many people convert to Islam or whatever. And so he's kind of an expert in that area. And so he became like a mentor to me. And so anyway, seek it out. You know, ask people. You know, someone who's wise, you know, spend time with them. Most people will be like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. I can do this or do that. Do it. You never know. Get wisdom, however you get it. Get knowledge. Grow in this thing called the Word of God. And here's the thing about it. You have to, it's like working out. You know, you can sign up for the club. You can tell people you're going to show up. But if you don't go work out, ain't nobody can work out for you. Right? You have to do it. And it's the same way with this. And this is the discipline of the word and knowledge and growing in that. We have to do that. And whether you like to listen to it, whether you have some other way that you get God's word in, you get wisdom. Right? Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Better than gold and silver. Because guess what? If you get wisdom, you'll get gold and silver. Isn't that right? And you'll keep it, too, as opposed to the fool in the Proverbs who gets it and squanders it. Right? Well, I don't know. All right, verse 10. So he says, get this spiritual wisdom and understanding. Get it. Paul's praying for the church in Colossae. Get it. Here's why. So that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity. Boy, do we not need that today? I mean, do we not need admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity? Do we not need that? You know what's funny? There are people who don't even believe in the Word of God who believe that people should have those things. I always like it when someone says, well, that's just dishonest. What makes it dishonest? Well, because it is. You don't even believe in honesty. I mean, you don't believe in the Word of God. You know, honesty, truth comes from the Word of God. You don't believe in the Word of God. Why would you value honesty? To fully please Him in all things. So, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity to fully please Him in all things. Bearing fruit in every good work and steady growing in the knowledge of God with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love of His precepts. Man, what a prayer. What a prayer. All right, let's break it up. So that you'll walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity. So this journey that we're on is called a walk. Right? Paul says, run the race set before you. It's called a run, too. There are many metaphors in the Bible for this journey. But one is a walk. And what is a walk? When you think about a walk, what do you think about? Walking by the beach. I like this, man. I'm with you, bro. Take me with you. Newport. Pizza place is closed, but we found a good a Mediterranean shop around the corner. Anyway, what else? 17th Street. The pier, Newport Pier. Balboa Bars. You got me started now, man. You took me right with you, bro. You took me right. You know. Oh, we got to talk, man. All right, anyway. Balboa Bars, man. They don't make them with almonds anymore, man. Anyway, what do you think about when you think about a walk? Your actions? What else? Huh? A procedure, right? A destination, right? What else? Okay, good. So, this walk, this life in Christ is a walk. And Romans 8:1 says, speaks of those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, you can walk in the flesh according to your own desires, your own way, or you can walk in the Spirit. Romans 6:4 says, walk in newness of life. Romans 14:15 says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Because, you know, you pulled out a pork chop and he thinks that you shouldn't be eating pork, you know. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Ephesians 5 says, walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given. We should do a whole teaching on walking. We'll call it walk. Ephesians 5:8 says, walk as children of light. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every other brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. And then 1 John 2:11 says, but anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. Wow. So walk. Paul says that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. This is the Lord's level. This is a manner that's worthy. Paul says that your walk would be according to that manner or to that level. You walk according to the manner of the Lord. That's where your walk would be. Okay? A familiar pattern repeated over and over in the New Testament that our walk is based on our what? Our knowledge. You can determine, everybody has bad days, you can determine, you can sort of see someone's knowledge by the way they walk. If you see someone walking, you can determine a little bit about their knowledge. Okay? Not that we're judging anybody. We're not doing that. And our understanding of his will, those two things. And so he says, displaying, as we walk this walk, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity. Character, courage, and integrity. Here's why. Now remember, this is what he's praying for these people. So, on the one hand, this is something that we should desire to do. On the other hand, it's something we should pray for ourselves and for others. All right, here's why. To fully please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steady growing in the knowledge of God, with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love of his precepts. This is what is pleasing to God, bearing fruit in every good work. Bearing fruit in every good work. So, Spurgeon again says this, fruitful in every good work. Here is room and range enough in every good work. Have you the ability to preach the gospel? Preach it. Does a little child need comforting? Comfort it. Can you stand up and vindicate a glorious truth before thousands? Do it. Does a poor saint need a bit of dinner from your table? Send it to her. Let works of obedience, testimony, zeal, charity, piety, and philanthropy be all found in your life. Do not select big things as, I think that's as your specialty, but glorify the Lord also in the littles. Fruit in every good work. Is that good? We're called to be fruitful in every good work. And whatever you do, we're to do it all as unto the Lord, because that is pleasing to him. That is fruitfulness in the small things and in the big things. It's pleasing to the Lord. And he says, fully pleasing him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steady growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God. There it is again. With deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love for his precepts. Deeper faith, clearer insight, fervent love for his precepts. How do we grow in the knowledge of God? Well, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study and do your best to present yourself to God approved, a workman tested by trial, who has no reason to be ashamed, accurately handling and skillfully teaching or rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're right back where we started. Knowledge. Grow in the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of God and his word. My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. I mean, and it's not knowledge just to have knowledge, because knowledge does what? Puffs up. But love builds up. Because you can have a whole lot of knowledge, but have not love. And then Paul says, you're just like a bunch of noisy instruments. You have nothing. And so, verse 11, he summarizes, we pray that you may be strengthened and invigorated with all power, according to his glorious might, to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy. The last part of the prayer. Be strengthened and invigorated with what power? All power. Where does all power come from? It comes from above. Not your own power. Strengthened and invigorated with all power. It says, according to his glorious might. Paul said the same thing in Ephesians. Why? To attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy. Where was Paul the Apostle when he wrote this? He was locked up in the pen. Locked up. Isn't that amazing? You would not know that if you hadn't heard it. This is his prayer for the church. Let me just remind you, Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now to him who was able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So that power that Paul is talking about is there to help us meet all of life's challenges with endurance and patience, with joy, to the glory of the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Could we pray this prayer? You guys all have it. Why don't we all stand? And why don't you personalize it with me and I, for example. In verse 9, we'll just pray it together, where it says, "That I may be filled with knowledge." We'll start with that, okay? All right. God, here's our prayer to you for us. That I may be filled. Read it with me. Right? Colossians 1, second line. I'm sorry. I should have told you that, huh? All right, here we go. "That I may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, with insight into his purposes and in understanding of spiritual things, so that I will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, displaying admirable character, moral courage, and personal integrity, to fully please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing in the knowledge of God with deeper faith, clearer insight, and fervent love of his precepts. I pray that I may be strengthened, invigorated with all power according to his glorious might, to attain every kind of endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints, God's people, in the light. Amen."